Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. This is PMC Live. Today is April Fool's Day, Thursday, the 1st of April, 2021. And I'm joined online today by Phil Hofstetter and Julie Walker with the Petersburg Medical Center. Welcome to you both. Any pranks at the hospital, the medical center today? Are people in April Fool's mode, Phil?
I as much as I support, some comedic relief, I don't think there anyone's been thinking about that. I haven't heard anything. Actually, no, okay. I was just texting my family that it doesn't feel like an April Fool's kind of day.
Except for the snow that's falling and the flamingos, the flamingos at the radio station. Other than that, it's normal, huh? So yeah. We have a lot to talk about. Where should we start first? You want to jump in with billing changes or
I always have so many things to update on. We can focus in on a few things. One of the things we hear so much about COVID and we hear so much about vaccines and testing, I'd like to maybe just address looking at the future, focusing on the future, and what are some things that maybe we are working on to improve our service to the community, improve our staffing. It's been very challenging for our staffing. And also some updates with the CARES Act funding that we received. There was an expiration date of December 31st. We had to spend a number of that. There was a lot of stipulation around it. There's some pros and cons to that, but one of the pros is we were able to obtain some new platforms in the hospital that were greatly needed. As we know with COVID, it sort of exposes all your weaknesses. And so it's been a constant reflection on how we can improve and how it can improve. And so I'd love to touch upon a few of those.
Sure.
So the first thing, when I came here a few years ago, we've had an electronic health record, and it's been here for a while, and it seemed outdated to me. It's just my opinion. I was used to transitioning and implementing an electronic health record where I was before, and I saw such power and improvement in having an appropriate technology to deliver as a tool to deliver care for our staffing. And I did hear from our staffing, physicians and staffing in general, just having some challenges and just some issues with that. And with that, we were able to actually obtain a new electronic health record called Cerner. And we have an implementation timeline that's starting, I believe, this week or next week. And there's basically a 6 to 7 month rollout where we'll be going live with that platform in November. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting internally, but it also has the effect of improving care. We'll be able to do things with much greater improvement. There'll be an improved portal, meaning that patients can access the portal that's a lot cleaner and with more robust technology, more security. That's one of the big things with our platforms, making sure that everything is really secure and that we can audit everything appropriately in a proactive format. And so we are very excited about that. It's a program called Community Works, and it's geared towards small critical access hospitals. But it's one of the top vendors out there and working with small critical access hospitals. So that's one of the highlights I feel like that's occurring, that we haven't really advertised it too much, outside of the hospital, but internally we've been preparing for this and it's just been really exciting. Normally it's a stressor, but I was pleasantly surprised that a lot of folks are really excited about the implementation of this project.
Do you feel it's a big improvement over what was there?
Absolutely. I feel like it's going to be an incredible improvement. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And just for people who are tuning in, that patient portal that's online, you can, find that through the medical center's website. You can check out your own health records and history through that if you haven't already signed up. So, okay. And what else? What other changes?
Well, the next thing is when I came on to in Petersburg, I interviewed a number of or I met with a number of community members. And, you know, it, for the first month, I took a lot of meetings and, you know, took out things where people wanted to see improvement. And one of the things really geared towards billing and what we call rev cycle, revenue cycle, which is a component of the billing internally here. And that's something that's also been a struggle and, you know, constant improvement. Our staff do an amazing job here in trying to respond to that. But typically those are, it's an outsourced component. It's very complicated. And so you have to have a really knowledgeable, good firm that's able to address our uniqueness in Alaska and the type of billing that we complete here. And also with a really customer service oriented firm. And so we were able to do that just recently, and we did advertise that or report out on the board. And I also spoke to the pilot earlier this week because there was some interest there for sure. But that's an exciting thing. And I certainly want to just make sure that, you know, as we hear things from the community, always striving to improve, even during a pandemic, it's just those are always opportunities to improve and taking notes on what those things are. And even if it doesn't happen overnight, we're always trying to improve our mission and we're trying to improve the care and the delivery here in the community.
Okay, so will billing look very different in the future?
Not a tremendous, I mean, on the surface, I don't feel like it's going to be different. There are a few components that will be improved, but certainly, you know, having, you know, a quicker turnaround time, making sure the statements are reflective of the services that are done, that you could actually read the statement and know what services that you that were performed, which has been a common concern and issue. So streamlining things like that. And it's, again, we're very early. We just did the switch over recently, but certainly would welcome any issues. Obviously would contact the facility and let us know, but we're working on that.
The new company you're contracting with for that service is?
It's called HRG.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, and so that has already been implemented.
Yes, that's it's implemented. We went live with that and we did a switch over, I think, about 2 weeks ago. And that's an evolving, that's evolving and growing. And we're a lot of positive response from our staff. So that's been it's been great.
Okay.
And then I'll just probably move on to Julie and kind of have her explain some of the projects that she's working on.
Sure. Before we get to her, just real quick, Phil, was there additional funding for the medical center in the latest stimulus bill just approved?
That's been a challenge. No, not yet. And that's a concern. You know, as we had talked or reported out previously, the response to this last outbreak, for example, I didn't even think about funding. You know, we responded as we responded, whatever needed, we did. And it just, you know, now going back, we're reviewing all that. And it, you know, there's a, you know, a hefty dollar amount of $250,000 just in additional expense. And that's not counting the patients not seen or anything along those lines. So I'm, you know, we're a little concerned with that. We did budget with our previous CARES Act appropriately as well, but that funding was budgeted to the end of March. So we're, you know, we're looking to look at what programs we can apply for. We know funding is coming. We know it's going to be available for rural healthcare, and but that portal on that is not quite open yet. So we're still a little bit in the dark.
Okay. All right. So let's bring Julie Walker into the conversation. Hi, Julie. You're going to talk about a couple of programs you're working on, I think.
Sure. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we gotcha.
All right, great. So I work in our community wellness team, and we have an exciting program I want to share today, which is called CAPABLE. CAPABLE, it stands for Community Aging in Place, Advancing Better Living for Elders. So it's quite a long acronym, but I think the name kind of says it all. It's really designed to help people ages 65 and older continue living safely and independently in their own homes. So this was a program that's been developed by Johns Hopkins University. It's been around for about 10 years, and it's in about 19 states right now. We're the first site in Alaska. We have a grant to get this program off the ground, and we're very excited to get it going. So there's a lot of research behind it. It's proven to drastically improve people's daily functioning, reduce their depression, keeping people out of the hospital. That's kind of the number one thing, is if they keep living safely and independently in their own home, they stay out of the hospital, ultimately saves lots of money in medical bills, and just keeps people healthy longer. So the way that it works is basically it's a 5-month program that can help older adults identify and work on specific goals that they have to remain safe and successful in their own home. And the team includes a nurse, an occupational therapist, and a handy worker. And they go to the home and they work with the participant to identify goals and work on a plan together. It could be working on anything from making meals, showering, managing medications, or just getting around their own home. Those are just some examples, but really it can be anything they want to work on. And then the handy worker, that part of the program, is they are available to do minor home modifications, such as something like a grab bar or better lighting so that somebody doesn't fall. These modifications are really aimed to ensure safety and make people more functional in their own home. So over the course of 5 months, the participant would have about 10 home visits from the team, and the team would work alongside with the patient's regular medical provider and give them updates and provide progress to them. We're really excited about it. We've had 4 people that have started the program and several more that we're reaching out to or receiving referrals from our providers. You don't have to have a provider referral. So if there's something, this is something you are interested in or a family member is interested in, please call the clinic. It's for 65 and older. So
is it covered by insurance or?
Good question. It's covered by the grant, actually. So it's a completely free service. At this time, we're able to offer it completely free. It is not a billable service to an insurance company at this time. So Capable, as a program that's being implemented across the country, it's not accepted by any insurance programs at this time. There is work being done at the national level to try to get it approved by Medicare as a billable service and a covered service, because they have proven that it saves people a lot of bills, a lot of medical bills down the line. So it's a preventative program. If we can have Medicare pay for it, it would be, really beneficial. So, but at this time, it's offered free, completely free to our participants through the grant, and that includes the home modification piece. So any costs associated with that are covered by the grant.
Okay. And so you said 4 have signed up. Do you have room for more?
We are kind of starting slow. We're, we're kind of piloting the program, and we do have space for a couple more right now. So like I said, we're reaching out to some, and if there are others that are interested, we can slowly work them in as people get through the program. But we are a small team, so it will take time to, build our capacity. We're, a team of people that are already doing client services, and they're going to take this on as an additional project. So, we have a little bit of extra space right now.
Okay. And have those home visits started already?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they have.
All right. Great. Anything else about that program you want to highlight?
No, I think, if anybody is caring for a elderly parent or, hears this and thinks that might be of interest and has questions, please call the clinic. They can connect you to me, and we can talk more about the program. I'd love to answer any questions that people may have about it.
Okay. All right. And you wanted to address a couple other things, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Our community wellness team is just, we've been doing some brainstorming about, like Phil said, kind of coming, turning a corner in the COVID pandemic, and just start to refocus on prevention, disease management. This is a high priority for our hospital and our clinic. We recognize that people have postponed a lot of, preventative screenings, cancer screenings like mammograms, well women's exams, just your annual checkup with your doctor. or even your well child checkups due to COVID. So now's the time to kind of get back in there and get those things taken care of and ensure that we're staying healthy over the long haul.
To that end, maybe this is a question for Phil, but I know the community health fair was starting to happen before the pandemic descended on the U.S. There's no community health fair this year, but is there one planned for next year in 2022? Phil? Or Julie's giving the thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, I'll let Julie tell. We actually just had that conversation like 2 days ago.
Okay.
So you want to give a?
We don't have specific plans, but I think there is definitely a need for it. So I would anticipate that we'll be putting something together. It may or may not look exactly the same as it did, prior to the pandemic. But we know it's a need, and actually, an example of kind of what I was just talking about is we have an employee wellness incentive program. So we're doing biometric screenings for our staff, because we do believe that's very important, and that's similar to what people would get at the health fair.
Okay. All right. Anything else you'd like to address, Julie?
No, I think, again, wellness, if you missed a visit to your provider, a regular checkup or a preventative screening, now's the time to get back into thinking about those things and give the clinic a call if you're due for one of those visits.
Okay. All right. Phil, back to you. Anything else you'd like to cover today?
Yeah. I mean, just to build off of that, I think one of the messages we want to share with the community is to focus on wellness. We heard that a lot during the pandemic as well, is, why aren't people talking about wellness? And it's something that, Julie and her team have been addressing and trying to do for a while, even pre-COVID, and we certainly are complete believers in that concept as well, and things like vitamin D that come up, and immune system balance and improving the care. We encourage you to reach out to the clinic and schedule an appointment with your provider to have an annual check and a well check, and we will be doing also some outreach. We have a case manager, and that was also something that was brought up to me with community members, an opportunity for case manager in outreach within our clinic and working with our staffing. And we did hire, a great case manager. Her name is Amy, and she has been reaching out with some patients in the community and working with our medical staff on where we want to, how we want to build that program and grow that with some of the either prevention measures or making sure people get their, A1Cs if they're a diabetic, or working through some of those things. So it's a challenging time, but it's also pretty exciting when we're able to do some of these things learn about what we want to improve upon and kind of focus on some very specific goals on growth in this area.
Okay. And I wanted to circle around back to the building itself. I know later this month there's a work session planned with the Medical Center Board and the Petersburg Borough Assembly to talk about that, among other topics. We're hearing about lots of infrastructure funding bills and millions and billions of dollars coming out of Washington, D.C., possibly. Phil, your thoughts on the future of the medical center and its building and that?
Yeah, this is definitely, this is something I think about daily, if not in the evening. I think it's certainly an area that was identified, when I came on here a few years ago. But also, it's one of those gaps that I was mentioning. I mean, certainly the facilities, we've outgrew the facility. It's an area that we are excited about, and we want to make sure the community is supportive of this as well. And I think there's a lot of opportunity within the community that is not just about a building. It's about building out health systems and wellness components within the community. And, an infrastructure bill is obviously an economic stimulus locally within the community, provides jobs. A lot of folks don't think about healthcare as an economic, stimulus as well is, we have roughly $17, $18 million in salaries and wages that go right back out into the community in some form that we pay, because most of our staff live in Petersburg and reside here. And, there's really a lot of growth opportunity within healthcare. There's a lot of opportunity within the community to access that care directly. One of the things that I'm very, in my experience, when you talk about one of the reasons that drew me to Petersburg, I suppose, is really the focused care in the community, having a facility locally and delivering the care locally, and not having a facility that's more like a hub and spoke model. The community concept where we're delivering care locally is something that should not be taken for granted. It's a tremendous value economically, job opportunities, delivering healthcare in the community and delivering services locally to keep people here and to age in place, simply as Julie's mentioning.
So the difference between providing care here locally versus triaging and deciding where to send somebody.
Absolutely. Delivering care locally there's many components to that. I mean, you're bringing in the school, you're having services, with your child, well child, even though we don't deliver babies, you're having your prenatals and your OB checks and your post follow up and your pediatric follow up. And a lot of the services to be able to build that out locally is extremely important, and is really a scale, an economic scale that's very attainable within this community.
All right. Anything else to cover today? I know we'll have you back on tomorrow for the COVID panel, but did we miss anything?
Nope. I think I just thank you for the time. Julie, anything on you?
Nope. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Thanks for being on. You've been listening to PMC Live. This is once a month at the beginning of the month, the first Thursday specifically. And you are listening to KFSK in Petersburg.